weekend. Congratulations to the All Blacks for a pretty decisive win over Canada. Commiserations for Dan Carter. That's very, very undesirable, but I think that the All Blacks can still go ahead and win despite that. And commiserations for the Warriors. I went to the fan zone at Mount Smart yesterday in the rain and the wind, along with the other diehard Warriors supporters. But congratulations on it to the team. They got to the final. I think they played their hearts out in the second half. And congratulations to the Junior Warriors for winning the Toyota Cup. Heading to Auckland tonight to see the Silver Ferns play.
More bad polling for Labor over the weekend. Can Labor still win this election?
Yeah, Labor can win. Look, we've seen polls that have been up with the Fairfax poll, the Roy Morgan poll that had Labor up 5%, National down 6%. We saw some good results out of the poll for Marae, with two of those Māori seats on those poll results looking to come back to Labor, Te Tai Tokara and Te Tai Tonga. Two of them are down. None of those polls are good enough. We've got a hard job ahead of us. We're going to fight this campaign hard and on issues that we think we can win on.
That stuff that you mentioned, though, is around the margins, isn't it? When you look at the main gap between the main parties and the main polls, you're anything up to 30 points behind.
Yeah, 20 to 30 points behind, and that's not good enough. It puts a real emphasis on the campaign. We'll be out there campaigning on issues that we think we can win support on, because New Zealanders hold beliefs similar to Labor on areas like asset sales, the rising cost of living, a fairer tax system.
Is a month long enough, though, to turn that around?
A lot of things can happen in a month. A week's a long time in politics, and we'll be using that month to campaign hard on the things that we believe in and we know New Zealanders value.
So do you think that New Zealanders just aren't tuned in at all to politics?
Well, a lot of them are focused on the Rugby World Cup, but come the end of the Rugby World Cup, the attention of the country will turn to politics and the election. And people will be looking at what the alternatives are, what the choices are, which policies will help create a better future for them, their kids and their grandkids. I think Labor has those policies.
The Greens seem to be hovering up some of Labor's vote. Are you concerned about your voters going towards the Greens?
Well, Labor's going for every vote that can. We'll be fighting the campaign on the policies that we believe in, the values that we hold, and we're confident we can win public support on that basis.
Does your polling show that you are bleeding support to the Greens?
Look, I don't comment on our polling at all. Never have.
In terms of some of the things that the government perhaps hasn't handled so well, but has not really been punished for, example, the opening night of Rugby World Cup, those problems, people just don't seem to be blaming the government for that.
I think the government moved very cleverly to put all the blame on the Auckland City Council. I think that most reasonable people would understand that both sides left something to be desired in the botch up of that first night. But hey, let's celebrate the positive. I think it's been a great Rugby World Cup. I want to acknowledge Helen Clark's role in securing that for New Zealand. I think it's been great for New Zealand, and New Zealanders have really got behind it.
The economy, people are more negative about the economy. That's been quite clear over the last few months, being more and more concerned. Yet, again, that not translating at all into reducing support for nation.
I think falling in credit ratings last Friday will be a real wake-up call for many. Obviously, it blindsided Bill English, but both Bill English and John Key have said that a downgrading of the credit risk would be a lack of confidence in the way the New Zealand economy has been run. John Key went as far as saying that Standard & Poor's liked his budget last year. Well, clearly they didn't like it enough. That has real implications for Kiwis. It means that our mortgages are going to go up. It's going to cost more to pay for the mortgage on your home. And it means the cost of the government's borrowing, and there's been a hell of a lot of that, will also go up. That will cost us as taxpayers.
What will that impact on the government's popularity when a high deficit and high unemployment happen?
I think that all of those things will actually have an impact. New Zealanders know that high unemployment is entrenched, and they're particularly worried about young people being unemployed. They're worried about the cost of living. The government has relied on their economic management, and they've said, look at our credit rating. Well, we're now 25% of those countries that Fitch have downgraded over the last 3 years. Three quarters have maintained their credit rating. We're part of a minority that have been downgraded, and that's a reflection on this government's management of debt and savings.
Well, you said this morning that, that more cuts to the public service might be coming thicker and faster. That's one of his kind of ideas about getting the bread running back under control. What do you think about that?
I remember a certain leader of the opposition, John Key, promising that he was going to cap, not cut. Just another broken promise.
Stats out today, the government's reasonably positive about them. What's your reaction to the numbers?
Oh, there's a long time lag on crime statistics. I think that some of those crime statistics will reflect the fact that we have a strengthened correction system and a strengthened police force. Most of those changes happened under Labor. In terms of the murder rate, we had the highest rate on record last year, one of the lowest this year. That's something the government's don't control.
You were taking credit for the 10% drop in.
Oh, look, I think that it's facile to say that the government takes credit or blame for short-term changes in figures. If you look at better policing, you'll see that there was a massive increase in police numbers under Labor. That certainly helped. There have also been big changes in the correction system. It's far more effective now than it was, and Labor made a lot of those changes.
Have you had any advice on the report, both of COVID today and spring?
Yeah, it hasn't reported back to the House yet, but look, what we know from the submissions before that select committee is that almost everybody opposed it in its current form. I'm really pleased that Labor forced the government to hold a select committee process. That will cause them to alter this bill that is unacceptable in its present form.
When you look at the blanket media coverage over an individual rugby player, do you think we're losing a bit of perspective?
Well, we're focused on the Rugby World Cup. New Zealanders are putting worries to one side and they're enjoying the spectacle that the Rugby World Cup has been. And yeah, the fact that Dan Carter, who's a key member of our team, was injured, that's going to interest New Zealanders. So I don't think that's unusual or wrong. We are focused on winning that Rugby World Cup.
Regarding the SFO's Adam Feely taking the champagne, do you think that's appropriate?
I think it's extraordinarily unwise.
Why?
Because there is a question over ownership of the alcohol. It's not a huge sum of money, it's about $70. But if you're running the serious fraud office and you're consuming something that doesn't belong to you, that's got to be a worry.
Does it affect his ability to retain his position?
I think you need to see it in perspective. I think it's unwise and he should acknowledge that fact.
Mr. Heakley resigned over a couple of bottles of wine, didn't he?
More than that, quite a series of things that I think that he resigned over, but I just think it is utterly inappropriate for anybody in a law enforcement position to be taking possession of something that they don't own. And it might be a small amount, but there's a principle at stake.
Have you caught up with the Defence Capability Plan yet?
Yeah, I think the Defence Force will be feeling very grateful that there was a major increase in capacity under the last Labor government, because what we see there is no further spending, in fact, the real reductions in spending. I think the government needs to come clean and say just how many personnel the Defence Force will be losing and just what capabilities they're giving up.
Just going back to the video temporary measures, Bill. Has Labor softened its stance on this at all?
No, we've expressed real concerns, both how the need for the bill came about, the fact that this government has sat on a piece of legislation for 3 years and not progressed it, the Search and Surveillance Bill. We've expressed concerns about retrospectivity and whether that's required. We've all along said that we think that 30A of the Evidence Act will enable the courts to deal with serious crime. We've expressed concern about whether there are adequate safeguards in place for what the government is now proposing. The Select Committee has been a real advantage. It's exposed many of the weaknesses in the government's legislation. We would expect that bill to be reported back in a quite different form to that that was introduced to the House.
But as part of your bottom lines last week, you didn't add, for example, a stronger framework around the prospective regime or restricting it to certain agencies only.
Well, I think that the wider the number of agencies that have access to it, the greater the worry if the powers aren't clearly defined and the safeguards put in the legislation. If there's a temporary fix, it ought to be as narrow as possible and for as short a term as possible. I don't want to see any serious drug trafficker get off a criminal charge. Nobody wants to see that. But I do want to see any government observe the rule of law and the basic provisions of the Bill of Rights, because that protects all of us.
But But you do want it to be retrospective in the sense that previous convictions won't be able to be appealed.
Well,
isn't
I want,
that against the law as well?
Yeah, look, I think that we've got to look for some compromises in this legislation to uphold the rule of law, but also to ensure that people who are alleged to have committed serious criminal actions are not able to get off the hook.
And you would let the police turn back on their cameras, but for 6 months?
I think that it's really important that the power be given to the police in proper circumstances to use video surveillance. That's what the Search and Surveillance Bill was about. Labor introduced and supported that bill, but there needs to be proper safeguards. We don't want to see any power given to any agency misused. Okay? Thanks a lot.